as I said earlier, welcome. We want you to feel welcome. And want to extend an invitation for each of you to come back. Where the doors of this church are open every Sunday morning. I ask that you pray for me as I stand before you this morning. Had some things on my mind as I'm getting older and I'm wearing out. We're constantly in a state of decline, aren't we? We don't like to admit it, but we're constantly in a state of decline. Everything we've got wears out. Our clothes have to be washed. Our cars have to be maintained. Everything we've got gets dirty, wears out, or breaks down. Doesn't it? I mean, you think about it. Your hair falls out. The shoes you wear get holes in them. The clothes you wear get threadbare, or they used to. Now we buy clothes before they get worn out just because we don't like them. Everything that you have has to be upgraded or maintained. Isn't that right? Even the technology that we have, that each one of you probably has in your pocket, will be obsolete pretty soon. Our cars have to have the oil changed, bearings put in them. Houses have to be maintained, everything. If you don't maintain it, it'll just get all moldy and mildewed and rotten. You understand, right? Y'all can say amen to when you don't have any money and the washer goes on to blink and you have to pay a repairman to fix it or something like that. Y'all understand what I'm talking about, right? How many of y'all have aches and pains? I got them. How many of y'all have to wear these? My vision gets dim. My muscles are getting weaker. My mind gets to where it's starting to slip more and more. If we live long enough, we'll get to the point where we're just going to be bedridden. Not be able to do things. That's a pretty bleak picture of our lives, isn't it? Do y'all understand how that started? Do you understand why that is? It started in the garden. And it started when sin entered into the world by one man. His name was Adam. It's called original sin, and it started the process of death, and it continues on every time a child is conceived. We prove it every day, because when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. That from the second that we're born, actually conceived, the process of death begins. That's a bleak picture, isn't it? That's what sin does. Sin is a bleak picture in a bleak frame, isn't it? When we look at things that way, there is what? No hope. There's really no lasting enjoyment. And that continues on as long as people will be living. That sin continues on. That is, in effect, called depravity, isn't it? That is the term to include everything that sin brought about, is depravity. Because of Adam's transgression, he fell out of favor with God. And in that day that he did so, the Bible says that God told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But Adam lived 900 and something years after that, didn't he? He did. But God said, in that day that you do it, in the day, same day that you eat it, you're going to die. And he did. What did he mean? He meant that he died to the relationship that he had with his Creator. And God, what happened after that? What did God do to Adam? He thrust him in the garden or out of the garden? Out of the garden. God did that. And so man naturally became depraved. It didn't take long for them to figure out what that meant, did it? It didn't take long for that sin to rear its ugly head, did it? Because they conceived in sin. And the first two kids that were born were who? Cain and Abel. What happened to Abel? Cain murdered him, didn't he? Didn't take long for sin to rear its ugly head. And sin has been rearing its ugly head since that day. Since that day. Man in his natural state is only depraved. Satan is the one that guides his actions, his motives, and his decisions. That's the natural man. The man that's naturally conceived. Who in here is a natural man? I am. And every one of you are too. Every one of you were conceived naturally. So every one of you have that nature in you. How many of y'all have thought impure thoughts today? How many of you have said an impure or an unholy, ungodly thing today? The preacher saying unholy things on Sunday. That's bad, isn't it? You know what that proves? That proves I am a natural man. And it proves that I am a sinner. And it proves that you are too. Because you're no different than me. Romans 3. Paul goes back and cites what David said in the Psalms about it, but I'm going to go to Romans 3 and read this. This is Paul's description of our natural state. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know what a sepulcher is? It's a grave. What comes out of graves? Nothing but stench comes out of graves. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what Paul did? He described the universal condemnation of all men, whether you a Jew or whether you a Gentile. A Gentile just means you're not a natural born Jew. We have any natural born Jews in here today? We have any spiritual Jews in here today? I am. Bible tells me I am. Now, this is the universal condemnation of all men. Now I want to talk about the natural man a little bit. It's also referred to in the Scriptures as the old man. Remember what I said earlier about old stuff? Let's get old, worn out, ravished by time and experiences. 1 Corinthians talks about this. Chapter 2. Paul's talking about in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? It's the spirit of man he's talking about. This is talking about the natural man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The natural man has the natural spirit or characteristics, right? The spiritual man has spiritual characteristics. I look like my daddy. Did y'all know that? My daddy's name was William Edward Blair. He had big feet. He was tall. Had a big nose. And he had big ears. I ended up having a little bit more hair than he did at my age. But I look like my dad. I've got the same characteristics of him naturally. Paul's talking about this old man has those old characteristics. And he says that that old man knows about what he looks like. He knows about things that are concerning his natural self. He can judge natural things. He can understand natural things. But he cannot understand spiritual things. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. You see, we've got teaching here. We've got natural teaching and spiritual teaching. Natural man teaches natural things. The Holy Ghost teaches spiritual things. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, let's listen to this. The natural man, that old depraved man, that one that hates God, whose mouth is an open grave, that only stench comes out, that man receiveth not the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Are the things of God foolishness to you? If they are, I can't help you. There's not a preacher alive can help you. I can't impart to you the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost's got to do that. God's got to do that. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discerned. That old man, that natural man, only knows natural stuff. He can't know supernatural, spiritual things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. How is the spiritual man able to judge all things if he's a spiritual man? Well, we deduce a reason that the spiritual man is able to judge spiritual things because he's a spiritual man. God has born him again. He's been regenerated. He's a spiritual man, has a spiritual nature, has the characteristics of God. He loves, he has faith, he is kind, he's charitable, he loves his brother, and he loves the things of God. But he judges all things, right? That means he knows about all things. Why? Because he's still a natural man. He still judges natural things too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But this man, this is talking about at least we've got two different kinds of people here that we can categorize. Paul says there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. And the man that's only natural, not born of the Spirit, not regenerated, not born again, same thing. He can't know the things of God because they're foolishness unto him. But the spiritual man knows both natural and spiritual things. So Paul introduces the fact that there is a natural man and a spiritual man that he referred to as the old and the new man, right? The old man becomes a new man when God implants His Spirit. Y'all hear that? When God implants His Spirit. Paul puts it this way. I'm going to go to Titus. Chapter 3. Paul's writing to Titus, this minister, and he tells him some things in here, and he says about some instructions, and he says, you put them in mind, Titus, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be not no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Y'all ever hated somebody? I mean, I have. Or at least come real close to it. I've been hateful too. You ever been hateful? But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Here it is. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What does that sound like to you? What do you do when your clothes get dirty? You wash them, don't you? What do you do when your body gets dirty? Hopefully you take a shower and wash it off. I have a friend of mine. He's a preacher friend of mine. His name is Joe Nettles. And he was visiting at our house one night, and we got up and in the evening time and were sitting there talking. After a little while before he said, before we went to bed, he says, "Well, I need to get in here and get me a shower and wash some of the nettles off of me." Because we have to do that constantly, don't we? Did y'all get that? He had to wash some of the nettles off of me. Everyone, I need to wash some of the blare off of me, is what I'm telling you. You need to wash whatever you are off of you. But you can't wash all of it off. You can't make yourself white. You can't get all the dirt off. The Holy Ghost had to do that. God had to make you clean. Amen? He had to make you clean. The Bible talks a lot about washing, doesn't it? It says in there that He makes you whiter than any fuller's soap. A fuller is a wash man, a person that washes clothes. God makes you whiter than any fuller's soap could ever wash you. So the Bible talks about washing a lot. Well, do you wash your clean clothes? I don't. I wait for them to get dirty and then they need washing. Sounds like to me it took the power of God to clean up the depraved natural man. Does it sound like that to you? Sounds like that to me. The power of God is the only kind of power that it takes, could take, to take a depraved natural man whose mouth was an open sepulcher, whose feet were swift to shed blood, whose deceit was in their mouth and the poison of asps under their lips. An asp is a snake. And clean that man up. But after you've had the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, don't mean that that natural man goes away, does it? How many of y'all think you've been born again? I mean, I do. How many of y'all think you've been born again? How many of y'all have lied since then? How many of y'all have done something despicable to somebody that you regretted? If you haven't, kudos to you. How many of y'all have thought impure thoughts? How many of y'all have done impure things after you've been born of the Spirit of God? I'm going to venture a guess and go out on a limb and say every single one of you have done that. What does that mean? That means that you're a natural man. You're a spiritual man. In a natural man's body, with a natural man's nature, and the spiritual man's nature. Do you know, How many of y'all have ever felt condemned by God when you did that? I mean, it hurt your heart that you did that. What does that tell me? That tells me you have a warfare going on in your soul. And it is the warfare between the natural man and the spiritual man. The Bible talks about it all through it. David, man after God's own heart, what did he do? What did he do? He did a lot of bad stuff, didn't he? That mean he's going to hell? No. It just means he let that natural man overtake that spiritual man in guiding his actions when he saw Bathsheba bathing on the roof. When God told him not, and he committed murder, premeditated murder, to cover it up. How many of y'all have ever tried to cover something you did up? I have. After I was born of the Spirit of God. That mean I'm going to hell? No. But it means I've done something that displeased God. Did David suffer for it? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Didn't make him not a child of God anymore, did it? God told him not to number Israel, and he did so. And you know what? A bunch of people died because David made that decision. Our actions have consequences. Naturally. You know, Paul says it a different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." You know, constrain means to kind of muzzle you or hold you back. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth," that means from now on, "know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." That means the Lord ain't coming back to set up a kingdom on this earth. We're not going to know him in the flesh anymore. He's already king. Amen. He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God and majesty on high right now. Why in the world, I'm chasing a quick rabbit right here, but what would be the purpose for God to come back here and set up a physical realm when he's already finished his work and seated on the... Why would he leave glory on the throne of glory and come down here if he's finished, if his work is already done down here? A lot of people debate that, and it's a good debate. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what kind of creature?
New.
A new one. I like that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about this metamorphosis that has happened to men, women, children that are in Christ. Positioned in Christ. Regenerated by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Those people that have been born of the Spirit of God begin to look at things in a different light, don't they? I mean, whereas you once were deceptive and didn't really realize it, and your conscience didn't bother you, after you're born of the Spirit of God, your past bothers you because you now understand that what you did was wrong. And that conscience bothers you so bad, and you go back and you apologize to people because you're just pained so bad about it on the inside, right? You ever gone back and realized that you did somebody wrong and went back and apologized to them? I would say that you're climbing the rung of godliness at that point. What I mean by that is, the closer you become to God, the more your sins bother you. It took the power of God to fix what was broken, to clean that which was filthy, and to redeem the unredeemable. To love the unlovable. To make sinners clean. What did he say? Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You'll find somebody rarely to do that in the world, most often on the battlefield during times of war. I love y'all. But I wouldn't die for you. I'd die for them two, right, the three people right here. Maybe four. Cole.
Yeah.
He's my new son-in-law. You know why? Because they're my family. They're my family. I'm just being real. And you know something else that I wouldn't do for y'all? I wouldn't take that one and that one and get that for you. I wouldn't do it. You're not that precious to me. Do you know what God did? He sent His Son to finish the work that He gave Him to do, to redeem the unredeemable. Amen. To clean the uncleanable. To claim His bride. Pay her dowry. He had to offer the only thing that would satisfy the wrath of God. That was payment for sin. I said it last week. I'll say it again today because it fits perfect right now. You know why you couldn't pay that debt? Because you did not have the currency needed to satisfy the debt. The currency was blood. And not just any kind of blood. It was precious blood. Holy, without blame, sinless, precious blood. You, as old natural men, old natural women, old natural children, have no currency to pay off that debt. The Bible is full of this, isn't it? You know, the world would tell you that we're getting better and better and better. Evolution says that the race will continue to excel and exceed into perfectness. And I'm telling you that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse and worse. If we were getting better and better and better, I would be born with glasses, and at the end of my life, I wouldn't have an end of life, would I? I'd just keep on going on into eternity. I'd be born crippled with my back hurt and all that kind of stuff, and I'd just get better and better and better every day. It's not that way, is it? Nope, it's not that way. But this is a continuing thing that goes on. It's a recurring principle in the Scriptures that God takes that which is dirty and makes it clean. He takes that which is filthy and makes it clean. He takes that which is a sinner and vile and makes him precious in His sight. I tell you what, He takes us from being under the law to being under grace. Don't you like that? I like that. I like the fact that I've now been removed from a law of God that only had condemnation under it, and now I'm living my life under grace. Do you know what that's talking about? I mean, when that law that He gave to Moses was a good law, and it was a great law, and He didn't take it back. We still need to be not murdering in people, and we still need to honor our father and our mother. We still need to do all that stuff. But how successful are y'all at keeping just those 10? Adam couldn't keep one. Can you keep 10? God added more laws onto it after that. He added more laws onto it after that. Can you keep all them? I can't. I doubt Adam, as a naturally good man, created naturally good and very good by God's estimation, he couldn't keep one. I doubt you can keep 10. I doubt you can keep one. The natural man has two natures. One, old, same old, worn out, corrupted nature, and the new nature that's clean and able to please God, all combined into one person. Right? In one body. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. After you've been born again, you got a situation on your hands, don't you? We all do. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You know what vanity means, right? It's not just vain. Well, I mean, this is a little portion of it. You see the lady that's had, I don't want to offend anybody, but has had plastic surgery for vanity reasons. And they look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm so pretty, I'm so pretty. It's not just talking about that. Vanity means emptiness. Emptiness, nothingness is what vanity means.
Don't walk that way. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, that means very calloused, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's unbridled lust, lasciviousness. That whatever they desire, they set a plan in motion to attain it. Whatever they lust for. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard the preacher. Did you catch me? You should have caught me. You ought to be Bible readers enough to be able to catch me when I read it wrong. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by the preacher. Nope. And have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Who does the teaching here? I just have to believe it's Jesus. I just have to believe that it's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost teaches us things. Not only did God born us again with Him, but He teaches, that Holy Ghost teaches us things. If you're doing something after the natural, man, the Holy Ghost didn't teach you that. He says, here we go. This is the old man and new man fighting. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that your manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying. You know, if He told these people who were born of the Spirit of God to put away lying, I think they're in a position to still lie. Aren't you? I am. Paul says it. You being a natural man, but born of the Spirit of God, don't follow the natural way. Follow God's way. You have the characteristics of God now. Act like it. Exploit those characteristics. Show them out. Let them shine forth in your life. Act like your daddy. Not Adam. Act like your real daddy. The one that's the powerful daddy. The one that's your real daddy. God. His characteristics. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know, I think that's one of the hardest things for children of God to do. Is to give, that we make it so easy sometimes to give place to the devil, don't we? How many of y'all dabble in whatever you ought not to be saying, a little bit and it's not going to hurt me? I mean, think about yourselves. How many of y'all do that? And I'm not talking about, well, I might be talking about overeating a little bit. I did a lot of that on vacation this week. How many of y'all do things that you know you ought not to do? And when you do it, your conscience bothers you. That was an indication that you shouldn't have done it. You gave place to the devil. Right? You gave place to that old man. At that point, you became a what to him? A servant. Paul talked extensively about servants of unrighteousness as opposed to servants of righteousness. I'll be done in a minute, but I ain't done yet. Y'all feel good about being a natural man yet? I don't. You know what? God, this recurring theme happens throughout the Bible, that God took us from being under the law to under grace. From abounding sin to abounding grace. He said, where sin did abound, what abounded over the abounding sin? I'll call it super abounding grace. Grace did much more abound. That means it didn't just, wasn't as equal with the sin. It was more powerful than the sin. Amen. I like that.
I like that God is more powerful than Satan, don't you? I like it that whatever sinfulness I had, God was more powerful than my sinfulness. That He took however dirty I was and didn't just clean me up once, but He made me all the way clean. I like that. I like that His power superabounds over my sinfulness. I like that. I tell you, it gets better and better, right? Because He takes us from death to what? Life. He takes us from being servants of unrighteousness to and giving us the ability to serve Him. I like that. He unseated Satan as sitting on the throne of your life by His death on the cross. And when He born you with the Spirit of God, you no longer have to serve Satan. He unseated him. He unseated him from the old man's seat. I like that. God's more powerful than Satan. Not only in the nether realms of a mystical place, but He did it for real in your heart. I like that. I tell you what, He not only did that, but He took us from corruption to incorruption. I want to read this. Boy, Paul hits this so great. You know, it's tough here, isn't it? It's tough right now. While this natural man is living on this earth, isn't it? But Paul's talking about something in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he's talking about the finality of some things. He's talking about the finality of this old man. And he's talking about the resurrection. And I want to read it. He says, but God, in verse 38, but God giveth a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. He's using the parallel of us planting seeds, you know, a corn of wheat in the ground, and it comes up and it don't come and look like the seed. It comes up and looks like something else. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, that means in the heavens, and the glory of the terrestrial, meaning on earth, is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Do y'all understand what that means? That little word, incorruption, it means that we're not able to be corrupted. We're sown, we're conceived in sin and corruption. But at the resurrection, He's not just going to raise us uncorrupted, but incorruptible. Y'all understand that? That we're going to be elevated to an estate higher than Adam was. You know, Adam was created uncorrupted, but corruptible. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? And when the Lord comes back and takes us home on the resurrection morning, this body that is going to be raised is going to be raised incorruptible, not able to be corrupted. A much better and higher state than Adam was ever created in on this earth. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground to me, because I wish that I could not be so corrupted right now. I'm disappointed in myself every day. Let's talk about what this is going to be like in glory. Hold on. Paul's, he's getting into it. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. The old man. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. That is not a contradiction in terms. I'm going to show you exactly what a spiritual body is. I mean, not right now. I'm not a spiritual body. But in the Scriptures, do y'all remember after the resurrection of Christ? And the disciples were eating. And they were sad. And the doors were shut. And the Lord just appeared in there. I don't know how that happened. But it was like He just materialized or walked through the closed door. It was so scary to them that they were all afraid, weren't they? They were all afraid. They thought they had seen a spirit. They thought they'd seen a spirit. And Jesus calmed their fears and He says, spirits don't have bodies as you see Me have. He's a spiritual body. You know how He proved it? He ate some broiled fish. Ghosts don't eat food, do they? Spiritual people with spiritual body do. The Lord proved it to them that He was real. This is not some charlatan's trick. It's not some apparition that they saw. It wasn't a figment of their imagination. God is real. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That means a spirit that makes alive. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. See, we got natural elevated to spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Aren't you glad that you are transformed from earthy to heavenly? First man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I look like my daddy, William Edward. Big nose, big feet, big ears, receding hairline with a peak. I bear his image right now. Do you know what Paul's saying? But that we're going to bear the image of God Himself when we get there. But the image that I've got of me right now is not going to be marred. God's image is not going to be marred by the image of my natural daddy no more. It's all this natural characteristics that I have. All of the sinful man, the old man. I'm not going to take any part of my old man into glory. Yet it's going to be me perfected in holiness. And I'm going to bear the image of my Creator in perfectness. Can you imagine bearing the image of God? You have it dwelling in you right now. It's just mixed with that natural man. It's in that natural body. It's going to be set free on this day. Set free. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment,
in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? One of these days, the grave has no more victory over us. One of these days, there will be no sting in death. It still stings a bit, don't it? When we lose our loved ones, it stings. But I'm going to tell you, there's a day that my eyes won't be dim. My back won't hurt. My knees won't give out on me no more. There's a place where no children are ever going to be crippled. No old ladies won't be able to remember things. No more tears. No more sorrows. No more fears and no more pain. Aren't you ready for that? That's a great place. The older I get, the more I'm looking forward to making that trip. Aren't you? But you know, He gave us the blessing of His characteristics now, that we would not live after the old man, but live after the new man. God's good, isn't He? He is good. So I would admonish you to put on the new man that you've got available to you and live after the godly characteristics. Look like your daddy. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception to members. Should any have that desire to walk in truth with this group of believers here that meet at this place.